Hey, everybody, why does it feel like our society is attacking itself? The autoimmune response called the Cloward-Piven strategy. You're going to love this episode. Kash Patel also joins us, and we talk about how a Western state, a surprising Western state, is going right wing. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Become a member if you want to ask me questions exclusively, and also be part of an exclusive community. It is members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Right now, we have several trends that are favoring our movement. Look, when you have cheap money and you have unregulated mass migration, you're going to get a political correction. Those two things almost always result in some form of a populist nationalist revolt. You flood the markets with cheap money, more money than goods and services. That's how you get inflation. And then you flood society with third worlders. No idea who they are, where they come from, what their background is. And even beyond that, you have example after example of major corporations that are going out of their way to throw the middle finger at the American worker. When your party's platform is to wage war on Americans, the systemic risk is that too many people will consider themselves Americans. Understand, the current Democrat project is a very risky political strategy. It's allow us to take over the country, we hate you. Give us power, we hate you. It's a fascinating political experiment. Let us govern the nation that we think is systemically racist and unjust. If you contrast that even with the Russian Revolution, at least they were pro-Russian. They were pro-Russian flag. They said they loved the homeland. This current regime occupies the country, and they have bitterness and resentment for the country that they govern. As we were mentioning previously, destabilization and destabilizing a society is the easiest way to get people to demand a Marxist revolution. I think this is one of the reasons why the trans thing is being pushed so aggressively. The same thing with the quote-unquote undocumented dreamers. Oh my goodness, all these kids, you know, what are you going to do with them? Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of them chemically castrated themselves. We got to do something with them. It creates problems, destabilization. The current regime, they are experts in flooding the zone to destabilize what once was the standard bearer of stability in the world. It's called the Cloward-Piven strategy. The Cloward-Piven strategy is you create a problem via destabilizing the normal and the ordinary. This is a perfect example of why Trump is ascendant. Recently, I had one of our major donors at Turning Point call me. He says, Charlie, I just don't get it. He says, I love Turning Point. We donate a good amount of money. Why is Trump so popular? He says, I'm still going to keep donating. I'll vote for Trump. He says, but I think Trump is this and narcissistic and repulsive, all this sort of stuff. I said, okay. I said, let me tell you why Trump is popular. In fact, I wish I could have played this tape for him on the phone call. Play cut 125.
This week, Tyson Foods announced that it will be permanently closing its pork factory in Perry, killing around 1,200 jobs in a town of just 8,000 people. So as Perry residents struggle to cope with mass layoffs, Tyson Foods has its eyes on a different class of workers. The company is now offering new jobs to asylum seekers in other states like New York. Oh, and the jobs come with perks, not just health insurance. Tyson's also offering lawyers to its illegal alien workers and time off to attend immigration hearings. They're firing Americans and offering perks to illegals.
Now, Tyson Foods is a beast. They did $53 billion in revenue last year. Tyson Foods has 142,000 people that work for them. Tyson Foods, out of Springdale, Arkansas, they want to hire 52,000 asylum seekers for factory jobs. After 61 years, they are closing this plant in Iowa. 61 years. This is why Donald Trump is succeeding politically. He is the only person that has been consistent and has been reliably clear on the issue of the disenfranchisement of the American worker. Immigration plays into that, trade plays into that, and this kind of wishy-washy, vanilla, laundered Chamber of Commerce talking point. Well, we need a pro-growth economy. The plumber, the welder, and the worker at the Tyson Foods plant in Iowa, they know BS when they hear it. But when Donald Trump all of a sudden talks about restricting the labor supply and prioritizing American workers, they start listening. This is why old school liberals like Bernie Sanders and Cesar Chavez hated open borders. It hurt blue collar Americans. It depressed wages. And it's not just economic disenfranchisement, but it is the crime. Almost every single day, we are seeing another murder, rape, for an illegal that should not have been here in the first place. Let me introduce to you this story. 26-year-old Corey Bernard Alvarez from Haiti, and Andrew did a wonderful job covering Haiti yesterday, has been arrested for raping a 15-year-old girl this week in Massachusetts. He was allowed to fly directly into the United States from Haiti, taking advantage of the CHNV migrant parole program, processes for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans by Customs and Immigrations. The Joe Biden open border crime wave continues. Now, let me prove to you that our immigration policies are actually not political. Haitians end up being very right-wing when they come to Florida. They vote very, very right-wing. A lot of people don't know that. We don't just want foreigners to come to this country for political purposes or political reasons. It is wrong for everybody. It is wrong for the American-born. It is wrong for the people claiming asylum. Because you know who he raped? He raped the person in a quote-unquote migrant shelter. The Trump administration was the only period of the last 50 years where the lowest rung of American workers saw their real wages improve. A blue-collar boom. Let me also introduce you to Irvin Giovanni Alfaro Lopez, 33 years old. He was arrested on Monday by the Montgomery County Department of Police on charges including sex abuse of a minor. The incidents allegedly took place between 2016 and 2018 at a Durwood church located in Montgomery County. The victims were aged between 6 and 12 at the time, and he never should have been here. I tried this out last evening at Influence Church, and it is a new theory that I have. What we are experiencing is a cultural and political autoimmune response. The bad guys are using our own immune system against the country. Our immune system is supposed to protect us from invaders, protect us from foreigners. But they use our values, they use our virtues against us. So then we end up attacking ourselves and we're fighting ourselves. That is what, when people suffer from autoimmune problems, it is your own immune system that is attacking your body. It can be very, very hard for doctors to pinpoint. Very, very hard to get the medicine right or to get the treatment right. Open borders is a virus. But what makes it unique, what makes open borders unique, what makes the globalist regime unique, is that we feel as if we can't do anything because we want to be diverse and open. So we allow it. It's brilliant when you think about it. It's demonic. It's diabolical. How do you destroy the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world? You trigger that country to use its values against itself in an inversion of an autoimmune response that destroys the healthy body of the country. And you are living through that right now. That is why we don't have the political will to deport the millions of criminals that are here. Because diversity is our strength. And immigrants built this country. And we can't lay hands on a foreigner because we might be called a racist. And that is the ultimate commandment of American life. Thou shall never be called a racist. Hey, this is Charlie Kirk, and I know a lot of you have been suffering under the Biden economy. Recently, school loan payments have been reinstated, and for many, it's adding thousands to their monthly expenses. My friends, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, they're amazing. They really helped me through a tough situation recently. They've been excellent. They're ethical. They're just really great people. They're followers of Jesus Christ, and our worldviews are the same. I love them. And so please go to andrewandtodd.com. Interest rates are coming down, and they may be able to lower your overall payment. In fact, one of our team members said, Charlie, is it time to me to own a home? I sat down. I went through the numbers. I said, get in the owner game. Honestly, enough renting. You are burning your money renting. It might be a little bit more to own, but you're building equity. That's money you'll have for the rest of your life. Perhaps a reverse mortgage is a perfect solution. It's about expertise you could trust in times like this. I can't tell you how helpful they've been for me personally. They've just been excellent. Andrew and Todd, I'm honored to call them friends. We hang out when I go to Orange County together. They're really great. So say, Charlie sent me 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. They helped me through a mortgage situation recently that was super complex and moving pieces, and it was really, really tough. And other banks, by the way, wanted nothing to do with it, and they crushed it for me. 10 out of 10. AndrewandTodd.com. So check it out right now. AndrewandTodd.com. The Cloward-Piven strategy was outlined in 1966 by American sociologists Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven. It is a strategy of trying to force massive political change by collapsing society through orchestrated crises. The Cloward-Piven strategy seeks to hasten the fall of Western capitalism. I'm reading from Wikipedia here, just to be clear. It's actually a good summary. By overloading the government bureaucracy with a flood of impossible demands and amassing massive unpayable national debt and other methods such as unfettered immigration, thus pushing society into crisis and economic collapse. Let me read this again. I'm reading it from Wikipedia intentionally because if I just speculated this, you'd think I'm making it up. Let me read what the Cloward-Piven strategy is again. And by the way, this was a strategy on forcing the Democrat Party in 1966 to try to take federal action to get Marxist policies. The Cloward-Piven strategy put forward by these American sociologists was that you must overload the government bureaucracy, create a flood of impossible demands, amass massive unpayable national debt and have unfettered immigration. How is that any different than what you're living through right now? And that is what is critical. Some people say, but Charlie, what do these people want? What do these people want? These were two Ivy League professors. They published this in The Nation. This was not some sort of napkin, you know, LSD trip, or that a couple professors went and did ayahuasca in Central America. Hey, man, you know, maybe if we flood. No, this was published academic literature. And in fact, I believe the Cloward-Piven strategy is the blueprint of what we are living through right now. The Cloward-Piven strategy is the lens that will make sense of everything we are living through. They want massive Marxist revolutionary change. They want a permanent oligarchy that keeps them in power. The Cloward-Piven strategy, as outlined, articulates the following again, because it's worth repeating. Mass immigration, unpayable national debt. We are, and we focus on this a fair amount, I think more so than most programs. But our national debt is a national injustice. It is one of the great moral crimes that both political parties are responsible for. Both political parties, Republicans and Democrats. We are borrowing anywhere between $2 to $3 trillion a year. We don't even know the number until it's officially published like a couple years later. It is intergenerational theft. If you wanted to effectuate a Marxist revolution, if you wanted to create a swallowing of America, This is exactly what you would do. And it was articulated by Cloward Piven. Flood the zone. Overwhelm the system. And all of a sudden it starts to make sense exactly why they want what's happening on the southern border. 15,000 people a day. You know some of the left-wingers I was speaking to at Cal State Fullerton yesterday? I said, how many illegals do you think are coming across the border? They said, 300 to 400 a day. I said, what if I told you it was 10 to 15,000? I said, oh, that's right-wing disinformation. I said, no, that's Biden's own DHS. They have no idea of even the scale or the enormity of what is happening. It's also very similar when I ask, you know, the pro-abortion people. I said, how many abortions do you think there are every single year? They say, probably 10,000. I said, try 3,000 a day. There are 3,000 abortions a day in this country, over a million abortions. And then you pair that with Joe Biden's recent budget. Joe Biden released a $7.7 trillion mega budget. And for decent, non-political Americans, I understand why you're confused. I do. For decent, non-political Americans, I hear you. You come up to me, you email me, and they say, Charlie, I can't understand how anybody who would run the country would want to run it into the ground. And I yearn to be as naive as you. I'm not insulting you. I wish I could live in that sort of blissful ignorance. I do. But just study the Cloward-Piven strategy, the two Ivy League professors that published their essay in The Nation. And they said the way that we get massive change is too much debt, a massive deep state bureaucracy, and unfettered immigration. They suggested it in 1966. About 15 years later, Joe Biden entered the Senate as one of the youngest members of the Senate from Delaware. And now Joe Biden is implementing the Cloward-Piven strategy every single day. It is the blueprint of how to crush America and bring forth a revolution of fundamental transformation. Sound familiar? Herzog Foundation is part of an education revolution. For those of you worried about the best educational path to your kids and grandkids, I'm pleased to announce our new partnership with the folks at the Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted source for American K-12 education with a remarkable suite of different options. So check it out from their online publication, The Lion, through the new podcast, Making the Leap. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents. We work with them at Turning Point Academy. To learn more about how your family, faith, and community can flourish through a quality Christian education, go to herzogfoundation.com. That is herzogfoundation.com. So check it out right now. herzogfoundation.com offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best decision for your kids. So check it out right now. herzogfoundation.com. Portions of the Charlie Kirk Show brought to you in part by the Stanley M. Herzog Foundation. Joining us now is Kash Patel. Lots to discuss. Kash, I want to get your reaction and your piece reacting to the January 6th committee suppressing evidence and the entire scandal and how it connects to Trump. Kash, walk us through it all.
Look, the short answer is the January 6th pulled what the FBI did in Russiagate. They had evidence of innocence. They lied to a federal authority all to unlawfully surveil a presidential candidate. What the January 6th committee did was use Cassidy Hutchinson to put out the Steele dossier of January 6th, lie to the world about President Trump's actions, and make sure they were able to conduct a narrative description in the media about insurrection. And now what has been exposed is a two-year-old transcript from a career Secret Service officer who has no political bones in his body. And Liz Cheney and the committee withheld his transcript because it exonerates Donald Trump. What does it do? It confirms the fact that President Trump authorized 10,000 plus National Guardsmen and women days before January 6th in the Oval, and Bowser and Pelosi rejected it. Charlie, I know you and I have been reporting on this for 3+ years, but this is literally breaking news because they buried evidence of exoneration for Donald Trump. Seems to be a habit.
Yeah. So let's dive deeper in. Will they ever be held accountable? And there's also more and more mounting evidence that there was destruction of evidence. This should be criminal, right, Kash? You're a former prosecutor. You understand this stuff really well. This should be criminal.
It is criminal. The speech and debate clause does not protect members of Congress from destroying evidence that is utilized in a federal investigation. And the good thing here, Charlie, is that if there is any good news besides Donald Trump being exonerated, is that the statute of limitations clock starts to run when the crime is discovered or reasonably should have been discovered. We had no idea the January 6th committee buried this type of evidence until Loudermilk put it out there with Molly Hemingway reporting. So hopefully when Trump wins, he can appoint a special prosecutor to go after every single person that participated in this fraudulent felony, in my opinion. And also, by the way, people should be lining up to sue Cassidy Huntington like Tony Bobulinski has, because in her book and in her testimony, which is the Steele dossier of January 6th, she went out there and lied about individuals and government conduct. And she's going to have a lot to answer for in the federal courts for civil matters.
Yeah. So I want to get your reaction now on Fannie Willis, Cash Patel. You're, again, former prosecutor, understand this stuff. Your reaction to the judge's decision. What is your reaction?
No surprise. This judge showed you just how much gumption he doesn't have. I have never heard of in my career a prosecutor personally benefiting from a prosecution they are bringing by making money and utilizing it to go on extravagant vacations, withholding that information from the judge you are presiding in front of, and betting your subordinate during this prosecution, and to cap it all off, lying under oath to that judge when questioned about it. What does this judge do? He becomes the ultimate coward of justice. And instead of meting out the appropriate punishment, which is all of you are removed, and I'm implementing contempt of court proceedings, he actually allows the criminal, Fannie Willis, to determine who gets to stay on the case and who gets to get off of it, because he wants to seem like he's reasonable and he doesn't want to get crushed in the media. And that's exactly what's not happening. The media is going light on this guy because he let Fannie Willis continue her bogus prosecution of Donald Trump. And he might as well be in the conspiracy now.
Yeah, it just, you know, Cash, You're obviously, you went through a lot of schooling to be a lawyer, to then be a prosecutor, and you had reverence for the American justice system, and there was almost like a holiness to it. And I wanted to speak from my own personal opinion. I don't know if you agree. I see what happened with Russiagate and Peter Strzok Smirk. I see Lisa Page. I see how, you know, all these January 6 people are going to jail indefinitely as political prisoners. Mm-hmm. I see Donald Trump facing 700 years in federal prison. And Cash, I'll be honest, I've lost faith in the American justice system. There are little parts at times that give me hope of life, like the Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Kenosha, mm-hmm. Which was, you know, promising that someone can still get a fair hearing in this country. But Cash, is the American justice system more dead than it is alive?
Yeah, and that's tragic for me as a career federal public defender, national security prosecutor, man who used to go into court and abide by the Constitution at all cost. The deep state's ultimate weapon of choice is the two-tier system of justice. And we are not just seeing its application in federal court against the former president of the United States. We're seeing its application in state court across this country, both for criminal prosecutions and civil prosecutions, not just against Donald Trump, but every one of his followers and anyone who dares to stand for the America First agenda. And this DOJ, run by Biden and Garland and Christopher Wray and the thugs over there that have weaponized the system of justice from Russiagate on to January 6th and everything in between with Hunter Biden's laptop, the 51 Intel letter, and Joe Biden's classified documents case, the only good thing that has happened from Donald Trump not being in the presidency is we have exposed all this corruption behind his leadership in the court matters that are going on before him. And now America is getting a serious education level. Even MSNBC is having a meltdown, and what they're resorting to is personal attacks, because this two-tier system of justice is going to be the most consequential issue of this election cycle, in my opinion, because they don't want everyday Americans being pursued for political beliefs.
So I want your reaction on the Robert Hur testimony. Some people argue by not prosecuting Joe Biden, it actually gives Judge Cannon an excuse or precedent to dismiss the classified documents case in Florida. What is your reaction to that and also Robert Hur's testimony, Cash Patel?
Robert Hur is Rod Rosenstein Jr., government gangster of the first order. When we were doing Russiagate, Robert Hur was Rod Rosenstein's number two, meaning he was there standing by Rod Rosenstein's side, authorizing the bogus FISA warrants to unlawfully surveil a president of the United States. That's Robert Hur. So I don't want to hear anything about him. Oh, he's a Republican. He's great. That is completely meaningless. Robert Hur pulled a Robert Mueller. Mueller came out and created a new standard for the Department of Justice when he said in his report for Donald Trump, I could not find evidence of innocence to exonerate President Trump. That's not the Department of Justice's job. Robert Hur comes in with the Biden investigation and says he is essentially guilty of every single crime I'm investigating him for. But because he's old and because I think some jurors might not convict him, we're not going to bring the charge. That is not a prosecutor's decision. If the facts meet the law, you bring the case, you go to the jury, and you let them decide. This guy has hijacked justice for political purposes. Any water fallout moments that might occur in Judge Cannon case are pure coincidence. Robert Hur is not on the team that wants to wreck the two-tier system of justice. He is on the institutionalist government gangster team that wants the deep state to continue so he can have a job in another administration down the road as the attorney general.
Can you just clarify? Some people are saying that Robert Hur takes orders straight from Merrick Garland. Could he have filed charges without approval of the attorney general of the United States?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Every special counsel reports directly to the attorney general, and the attorney general has final say over everything.
But the attorney general reports directly to the president.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's not
that's the chain of command.
So is there a difference between a special counsel and an independent counsel?
It's a long time ago. We had independent counsels. They're very similar creatures, like Ken Starr.
Yes.
And basically, that statute expired, and we got special counsels. They're really not that different.
Okay.
So we just don't have independent counsels anymore.
Mueller was independent or special?
Special counsel.
But I thought special. Congress commissioned that one, right? They voted on
it. No. We did the Russiagate investigation, and it proved so much corruption at the FBI that Rod Rosenstein appointed Robert Mueller special counsel. Because remember this? James Comey leaked his classified memos against President Trump for that appointment to happen. And who gets appointed? Their former boss.
So what I'm getting at, though, is that Robert Hur was taking orders from Merrick Garland one way or the other, and he is kind of a uniparty guy. Is that right? A uniparty type creature.
Oh, yeah.
And so does that give you any sort of hope for justice? Or are we at a place now where all of the pent up injustices all are going to meet in November?
They're on a collision course. In my opinion, they have been for some time, and Donald Trump has been handling them brilliantly to, one, educate the American public that this is not a made-up conspiracy, that they are actually coming after him unlawfully. And he's doing that each and every day, Georgia, New York, D.C., Florida, elsewhere. And what's going to intersect come November, in my opinion, is the revelation of the two-tier system of justice that has been going on before Russiagate, but got on steroids then, and how the FBI, DOJ, intelligence community have been rigging elections by hiding the truth. That truth is being exposed every day, and I think the nexus on Election Day is going to cause a cataclysmic event in this country where America is going to say, we want to restore a uniform system of constitutional justice here.
Cash, plug your book, your deal, so our audience can get behind it.
Thanks. Yeah, government gangsters is everything we're talking about. It's the roadmap to 2024, as Donald Trump called it. It'll take a wrecking ball to the deep state. It's got the receipts in there. All the January 6th information that the Congress hid is in that book. That's why they prevented its release. And in May, we got an announcement. Steve Bannon and I are rolling out Government Gangsters, the movie.
Very good. Cash, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Charlie. Have a great day.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. As you know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They are the best sheets you'll ever sleep on. The best night's sleep just got even better. For a limited time, you'll get a queen size set for $59.98, king size for just $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the MyPillow employees continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you for giving you free shipping on your entire order today. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets. Queen size for $59.98 and king size for $69.98. You also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, for free shipping today. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So call 800-875-0425, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Nevada. Nevada is a very interesting test case. Nevada traditionally was a deep red state, as red as it gets. And then it became a reliable blue state. Obama was part of that, as Obama built the Hispanic kind of coalition. And a Republican has not won Nevada, I think, you could fact check me on this, Blake, since George W. Bush in 2004. Obama won it in 08, he won it in 12. Yeah, 2004 was the last time, that's just off the top of my head, that a Republican has won the state of Nevada. But it still has this kind of cowboy spirit. The rurals are super right-wing. And there's a couple reasons for this. Harry Reid built a machine. There's a reason why they named the airport after him. Harry Reid built a political operation in the state of Nevada that was second to none. Tons of fraud. Culinary unions, trade unions, all the convention centers, all the hotels. And I have a thought crime. I actually don't hate Las Vegas as much as most people. Some people, I hate going to Vegas, terrible. Vegas is more than just the Strip. The Strip is ugly and awful. Vegas is actually a pretty nice city. If you get out of the Strip, you go into Summerlin, the west part, it's actually not that bad. There's far worse cities than Vegas in this country. It's not even close. Vegas is actually a pretty decent place. Really good people. So Harry Reid turned it into a reliable state for the Democrats. A lot of Californians moved in. A lot of Hispanics. And we've been seeing it change. And it's changing. It's becoming more and more conservative. Now, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. I think it's Washoe County. I never get that right. Is that right? Up in Reno. Washoe County. Reno, Nevada. If you win Washoe County, the whole ball game is over. There are a lot of conservatives that are coming up and moving to Washoe County. That's Reno, Lake Tahoe. A lot of religious folks are up there too, a lot of LDS. And the rules are like 80-20, and then the whole ballgame's Clark County. Clark County is, of course, where Vegas is. But you got a lot of LDS in Henderson, if you can run up the score there. And then you have the running, you have the ballot chasing operation. I'm very, very bullish on Nevada. If there would be a place where you look at where you can exploit the Democrats and mess up their math long term, make them play defense, I would go all in on Nevada. Now, this particular election cycle, the math doesn't do a lot for you, but there is a Senate race up. Who's going to be our Senate candidate, by the way? That's a very unreported primary. Is the Senate race up this year in Nevada? I think it is. It's not Cortez Masto. It's the other one. Cortez Masto is just up. Adam Laxalt should be the senator from Nevada. When it came down to 2,000 votes, remember how crooked that was? There was a snowstorm up in the north, and we didn't do a good job of ballot chasing. The RNC did not deploy resources. They did not do their job. Just a little bit more, and you have Adam Laxalt as a senator. Oh, Jackie Rosen is up. Who's going to be our candidate? That's a really good question. I haven't seen a whisper of, I couldn't tell you. Almost every one of these battleground states, I could tell you. Ohio, who I hope it's going to be Bernie Moreno. We have Tim Sheehy in Montana. I'd be really curious of who is going to be the... Oh, is Jim Marchant running? And Jeff Gunter and Sam Brown. Interesting. Okay. I don't know anything about that race yet. I got to educate myself on that. But Nevada is showing that the Sun Belt can be ascendant. That the Texas, Arizona, Nevada combo. There's a lot of life in that. A lot of life in the Arizona-Nevada combo. I feel very, very good about it. We have to pour a lot of money into it, a lot of attention into it. Again, it doesn't do a lot of good for the electoral math this cycle. But I would love, first of all, just as an insurance policy, to just get a little over 270. You know, maybe get us to 276 and 278. Remember, we have been playing at a very narrow map for years. Long term, I'm talking about 2028 and 2032. We're going to be doing this long term. It would be so helpful and beneficial to play on an expanded map. to have a broader map, to make the Democrats spend more money. And if Hispanics ever become a majority Republican voting demographic, watch out. It's one of the main reasons why Nevada is now a legitimate battleground state. Polls show Trump up 7 or 8 points. I don't know if that's true. But God bless the patriots in Nevada. You are on the front lines on the restoration of this republic. I love the state of Nevada, and I love to see what's happening there. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.